greatest sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Bruins game day on your home of the Bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Zo.
How you doing?
Hey, if we went downstairs here at TD Garden.
Yeah.
We're at our Star Market broadcast studio at Bruins game day. How many people down there? There's probably, 50 people in sight right now.
Yep.
How many people would be able to tell you that today is Red Sox opening day?
About 30% of them.
You think
so? Yeah, he's got a lot of women. Yeah.
Wait a minute. What does that have to do with it?
The women are there. Do they look like baseball fans to you?
I don't know. I see quite a few men.
Answer the question honestly.
I see quite a few men that I wouldn't peg as a sports fan.
Answer the question honestly. The answer's no. Okay? Without getting into details. Why?
I love our female listeners. I love our female
sports. Well, those aren't our female listeners. If you are, look up here and wave.
How do you know?
Because that means they aren't tapping the app.
Well, they might be busy.
Sorry. Jim, those three right there on that bench. They look like
that
anybody
knows.
Anybody would ever
that
tune
guy,
in
look, this guy at the Dunkin' Donuts line. He's pointing at us.
Yeah,
right
there you
here,
are.
That guy.
Yes.
That guy.
See, he's tapped the app.
I see. Now he knows. Woo! He knows that it's opening day.
Is it opening day? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
He's not
least. He knows.
He's probably not listening at the moment.
Yep. So
he's getting his Dunkin' iced.
Yeah, better
sure he was listening. It would be a little delayed. He wouldn't hear you.
Yeah,
exactly.
He wouldn't hear it. He wouldn't hear it yet.
Yeah,
he knows. Great. Yes,
yes,
yes. I'll raise to that.
Yes,
sipping on Dunkin' iced. Mm. Yes, I'll raise my glass to that.
Beetle and Zoe run on Dunkin'.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Mm. So that guy would know it's opening day.
Yeah, he would know.
I bet the police officers would know. I'm going to peg them as Red Sox fans.
But this isn't really opening day to me.
It doesn't feel... Well, listen, it's different when it's in town.
Right.
When it's at home.
Next Thursday...
Next week is a big day.
De facto opening day. You'll be playing somebody better. Who do they open up with?
No, I would go down there and I would phrase it like this.
Who do they open up at home?
I would phrase it like this. When do the Red Sox begin their season? When's opening day?
Next Thursday.
And it's... No, it's today.
Yeah, I know it is, but...
But I'm saying you would get... Oh, I don't know. What is it? Next week?
Home game, better opponent. Who do they open up with?
I can't remember. Listen, I'm excited about baseball season.
Just assume it's a better opponent.
What's that?
You just assume it's a better opponent than the Rays?
Hey, well, anything's better than the Rays.
Well, I can tell you that I...
Right?
I'm excited about this season for the Red Sox. I am. I just think they've got a good team, and I think the Yankees getting better. It's going to make it fun. I'm excited about the season
Not
itself.
A better opponent than the Rays.
Why?
Because it's the Rays.
Oh, Christ. Are you serious?
It's the same team. They play. We went over this with Shaughnessy 14 times.
You knew this and you didn't answer?
Nine times. The first nine games. Orioles and Rays,
ago.
Right? Everybody blows. God. Oh, I'm sorry, Miami in the middle. The Miami. Rays, Miami, Rays. But I can admit when I'm not in the majority. That's what I feel like. I don't feel like I'm in the majority of people.
I understand your excitement because it's the official kickoff of baseball season, but this has got to be – this has to be one of the softest openings in the last 10 years.
Well, it's happening on March 29th, which doesn't help.
It sucks. I mean, we're going to have Easter this weekend with snow.
It's like 40 degrees outside. Winter has not come to an end yet.
It's not spring. It has no feel of spring. Nothing. Look, people down there have scarves and hats on. Mittens.
The winter coats are on at this point.
It sucks.
It just feels like a soft launch.
Spring dull. This is the worst part of spring. This is it. Because you're waiting for spring to come and you look at the forecast for weather, and you still don't even see it, even 10 days out.
John Farrell was hoping for a soft launch the last couple of years. He didn't get it.
Yeah.
How great would it have been for him if it was a soft opening? Nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, he would love that, wouldn't he? It is. I can't remember it being so under the radar that the Red Sox are beginning their season. And I think they're going to be a really good team. And I think we're going to have a lot to talk about as it relates to this Red Sox team this season. I do. I don't know that the Red Sox have been a good talker in a long time. I think they're going to be a good talker this year. I think they are.
Yeah, I think with baseball, you need a little bit of drama, like the David Price stuff.
Well, you've got big personalities. You've got big names.
Yeah.
J.D. Martinez here now.
Yeah, okay. Is he going to be good or bad? That's part
good,
of the drama.
People will love him. If he's not good, people will roast him.
Well, if he's not good, he's going to end up like Price, I think, you know, to where people are going to get after him.
So there's going to be some stuff to talk about. And you know what there's going to be to talk about today?
What?
Your expectations for the team. What do you expect the Red Sox to do in 2018, and we'll leave that open-ended. I want to talk about the record. I want to talk about where I think they end up in the division. You could talk about anything you want. How do you expect...
Does the record even matter?
Mookie Betts to bounce back. How do you expect Andrew Benintendi to continue his development? What do you expect out of young guy like Rafael Devers or Chris Sale or David Price or anything? The manager. What are your expectations as day one is today for the Red Sox? What are your expectations for this season? We'll tell you some of ours and get to your calls as well on Red Sox opening day 2018. Can you feel the excitement?
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day with Solak and Bertrand from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub. From the center of the hockey universe, it's Solak and Bertrand. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The bunting that hangs tomorrow is the visible evidence that the season has begun.
Tessie is the royal root, his rally cry. Tessie is the tune they always sung. Tessie echoed April through October night. After Serenade installed an in and yard.
I see what you're trying to do.
What do you mean by trying?
It's one of my favorite songs. It really is. As much as I hate the drop kicks, I dig the hell out of this song. Jim knows this. This goes on. How many years is this?
Why do you hate the drop kicks? This is new to me.
I think like half the stuff stays. I don't get into it because I know they're a local band. People think of it. But I ain't just shipping up the butt. Like, they've worn
it. Hate's a strong word.
There is, yes. I don't hate them. I just like the music because I think people wear it out here and it becomes a rallying cry for Boston. And we're better than that. We are. But everybody dislikes this song, but I dig it. I don't know what it is. It gets me fired up because you just picture walking down the street and your buddies getting ready to go to a game and get fired up. One, two, three, four. Yeah. It's not like Fever Pitch. I like Fever Pitch the movie. Most people don't like it. I dug the movie. And
that's because you enjoy.
Resonates. This resonates more if you're walking around Lansdowne. You smell the sausages, you smell the onions, the peppers. You know you're going to be with us at Lucky Strike next week. You're going down to throw a couple back, and you're going to be hopefully sitting in the sun in 68-degree weather and maybe get a little tan on your forehead and smelling popcorn. That's baseball. Get fired up, like Sosi said, fake grass down the trop with a white Teflon-painted roof. It's a kick in the
nuts. It's a bad place to start.
It's bad.
Like, it's a bad team.
Like, I hope they don't get lulled to sleep by it. You know what I mean? And get off the bad start. Don't go down there and give two away, man. Whatever you do, sweep.
What?
Huh?
What do you mean?
They should sweep the series. Right?
I would, yeah, sure.
Don't lose today.
Okay. Popcorn, Fenway Park, Tessie.
What?
You know what, Tom?
Don't lose game one. And J.D. Martinez better not hit a home run tonight. If he doesn't hit a home run today and they lose
season's
done.
Real track starts tonight.
Oh, God. All right. So what do you expect from this team? Stop it, Tom.
Come on, Tom.
It's all his fault. Getting into talking about tans and popcorn. I don't even... What?
That's baseball.
Right.
Yeah.
Or there is a game today that will count as a baseball game. It will count for those who are interested in the game itself.
So will tonight's win be win number 93 or 97? When you tally it all up, it should be number one overall, right? As you get to what? How many wins?
Okay. Over-under is what? 90.5, Jim? 90.5, you told me tonight?
91.5.
91.5. Let's start there.
They're
over-under.
They're somewhere. They're over. They're somewhere in a 90 win. They should be a mid-90 win team. They play this team 19 times. 19 freaking times they play the Rays. How many games should you win out of that? How many bad teams are you going to play? You know, as far as in your division series. I mean, the Yankees are going to be damn good. See, that's the one thing about this baseball season that is exciting and fun for me is the Yankee series. Those are going to be fun because it feels a little bit like, oh, that's back.
The Orioles blow. The Rays suck.
We always say the Orioles blow, and somehow they always be, they're always competitive with you.
Okay, well, I can tell you that based on what they've done, they've gotten worse.
Okay.
The Orioles are not a good team. The Rays are not a good team, and I think Toronto has a chance to have a winning record.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that Toronto is the middle, is the team that's behind the Red Sox and the Yankees. I think the Red Sox and Yankees are going to be neck and neck, and I think the Red Sox are a 95-win team.
Yeah, 93 last year.
So I am on the over. I am on the over on this Red Sox. I would pound that over.
You should be.
91.5 They are going to win 92 games.
Guys
yes.
are more experienced, more comfortable. Yeah, should have some bounce back years. We keep talking about the bounce back years, and let's face it, the lineup looks better. You know, you're another year removed from Ortiz too. I'm tired of talking about you missed David Ortiz, That guy's gone now. It's 2 years now. Now it's time to start formulating your own identity. You know, whether it's Betts, Benintendi. Let's go. Let's get going. You know, they got some exciting guys to watch. Devers. I'm excited to see what Devers does this year. Seems like that's the type of kid that stepped into it, didn't seem to phase him. Like we talk about Donato, you know, with the Bruins. Devers should get off to a good start.
The Red Sox last year were 93 wins. They have to do at least that again. They have to win at least 93 games. I think they're going to win more than that.
Yeah.
I would pound that over. Now, they finished two games up on the Yankees a year ago. I don't think it's crazy to think that they finish a game or two up on the Yankees this year. 617-779-0985. Keith, what do you think about that?
Took the words right out of my mouth. Born and raised here in the Boston area, but grew up a Yankees fan, and I think the Red Sox will I think they'll get 101 wins, just over that 100 mark.
Nice.
I look at their lineup from 1 to 9, and I absolutely like it. You look at the Yankees opening day lineup today. I mean, it contains Neil Walker, Brandon Drury, Tyler Austin. I mean, I like 1-9 with the Sox. I like what they've been doing. Benintendi's added some muscle. You bring in J.D. Martinez, and he's like that Ortiz factor. Let's not anoint him as Ortiz, but, you know, he takes away the pressure on some of those other guys like Betts and Benintendi so that way they can step up and fill their roles.
Right, you're talking about the way he impacts the rest of the lineup,
yeah.
Not just...
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Right.
He changes that entire lineup, and that's why the Sox needed to get his bat in the lineup and pay him the money, you know?
So, top to bottom, Keith believes the team, and thanks for the call, Keith. The Red Sox have a better team, top to bottom. I don't find that to be... I don't find that to be a hot take. I think if you look at the two teams, the Red Sox, as a team, have built a better team.
Yeah.
Than what the Yankees have.
And you're
now, the Yankees are going to crush the baseball out of the park, especially when they're at home.
Yeah.
They're going to win a lot of games at home.
They should.
81-0 at Yankee Stadium.
I don't think it matters which team's which. Say the Red Sox win 97, the Yankees win 94. I think it's good for both. Whether it's the Yankees that win 97 or Red Sox win 94 or 93. It doesn't matter to me. That means you're going to have a damn good year, and both these teams are going to be in the mix at the end. You're both going to be in the playoffs.
Oh, you got to win the one-game playoff, though, if you're the second team.
Yeah.
That's the bad part.
Well.
That's why they're going to both be battling. If they're both in the 90s, they're both still going to be pushing at the end of the season.
But see, that's what's important in August, because then that's gonna put a little more pressure on, you know, how do you juggle your lineup? How do you approach your pitching more? Are you quicker to go to your bullpens? What's the shape of your bullpen? Did you burn them out earlier in the year? All this comes into play, and hopefully both these teams are going to be pushing into the 90s when we get to the end of the year because it's going to be important to both.
Justin in Salem, he's up next here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Hey, so I just wanted to continue the conversation saying that I agree. I like the Red Sox big signings this year, but I think the Red Sox really go as far as their starting pitching takes them. I think if Chris Sale, Price, and Rodriguez, and maybe another guy can get 100 starts out of these guys, I think the Red Sox win the division.
Wait, I mean, you should have Porcello in the bounce back here, too. I expect him to be better. So if everybody's gangbusters on David Price, like Shaughnessy is, guy's healthy, he's going to be fine, he's going to win 17, 18 games. You expect Sale to be the guy, the head guy. If you get anything out of Porcello and your top three are damn good, and that plays into with your lineup, this I mean, it's to what you're saying, mid-90s.
I keep hearing that Porcello thing, but you know what I go back to? Who do you expect to have a better year? Or who's it fair to say will have a better year? Porcello or Pomeranz?
I don't know, flip a quarter. Probably Pomeranz.
Yeah, no, healthy. Probably Pomeranz based healthy. On the way he pitched last yeah, year.
If he's healthy.
Once he is healthy.
Do you trust Pomeranz, though?
No. Do you trust really Porcello?
I trust him more than Pomeranz,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I kind of do.
Pomeranz, 17 wins was a complete mirage last year. Complete mirage.
That dude,
ERA wasn't
seven.
Bad.
I don't care. You look at the numbers. I watched him pitch every game.
Do you look at that guy, he wasn't those 17 numbers. Game winner.
He wasn't those numbers. Getting into the fifth inning, he's frustrating to watch. He's like Daisuke. It's like Daisuke. Yeah. Pomeranz is Daisuke 2.0.
I don't know. 3.32 ERA. Based on recent track records.
It's like, what do your eyes tell you? Does that look like a 17-win, 3.32 ERA guy? For immediate answer is no.
No, but I think there's way too much credit given to oh, Porcello's the every other year guy. And again, because, you know, you look at the last four seasons for him, it's been an every other year thing. But his best, okay, so let's go. Ready? From 14 through last season. Porcello was 15-13. Again, wins, loss, overrated. But his ERA was 3.43. The following year, it was 4.92. Then he had the Cy Young year, 3.15, 22-4. And then last year, 11-17 with a 4.65 ERA. His off years suck, are really bad. And his really good year was the year he won that Cy Young. Best year of his career.
Yep.
Every other year.
He's had a good year.
There's something to
this
that.
Is the every
That's
other
more.
Year.
Yeah.
This is the every other year.
And it seems how about like, Detroit, where he went four straight years with an ERA of 4.5 or over, or close to it in 2013 when it was 4.32?
Okay, but you were using the last 4 or 5 years as an example. He's had every other year. He's been great.
I'm saying the every other year thing, though, we don't know that has applied for his entire career.
But you used the last 4 or 5 years, so stick with the sample size you used.
Fine. I don't know that that's a big enough sample to know that he's going to bounce back and be great, because there have been other stretches of his career where he hasn't been very good for long periods of time, multiple years. And I've told you, Porcello made himself worthwhile when he won the Cy Young and had that fabulous year. Like, that validated the Red Sox
yep.
re-signing him and keeping him here. But no, I don't know.
I don't
trust him or Drew Pomeranz any more than one another.
I understand that.
So maybe it is a flip of the coin.
I understand that, and that's a production thing, but there's a sense about Porcello where he owns it when he's bad, and it just seems like he works hard, and you're getting the same, what do you want to call it, effort, attempts out of him. It may not be pretty, and it might not be good like it wasn't last year, but it just seems like it matters to him, and he cares. And that's good to me.
More of your Red Sox calls are on the way. Also, what do we expect from this team once they do get to the postseason? What do we expect from the Red Sox? Expectation day, opening day, baseball season 2018. More coming up after these headlines with Wallach.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics finished off a perfect 4-0 road trip with an impressive win in Utah last night, 97-94. Jaylen Brown hit the game-winning three-point shot with 0.3 seconds left. And as a result, Celtics are 3 games behind Toronto for first place in the East. The Raptors come to TD Garden Saturday night. Bruins have a huge home game to play tonight against Tampa Bay. Lightning lead the Bruins by 1 point for first place. The Bruins have a game in hand. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And the Red Sox open up their regular season today against Tampa Bay at Tropicana Field. Chris Sale makes the start.
It's fun. It's exciting. I've done it a couple times before. This will be obviously my first one here, which is special. Boston obviously is a great city for sports, great city for baseball, and you know, to be a named opening day starter for this organization is not something I take lightly, and I'm actually really excited about.
Chris Archer will pitch for the Rays. Sox are 58-58-1 in regular season openers all time. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by WestJet Airlines, now with low fare daily flights from Boston to Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax. Book now at WestJet.com. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
You're listening to Bruins Game Day.
Bruins Game Day.
Bruins Zolak and Bertrand.
From the Star Market Broadcast Studio.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. It's Zolak and Bertrand. Bruins Game Day. On your home of the The Sports Hub.
What does this team need to do in the playoffs, though, for it to be a successful year?
Win a game? I think they need to win a series. I do.
I think they need to make it to the ALCS. They need to be in the Final Four of baseball. They need to be competing for the pennant. That's what they need to be doing. You want to consider this progress? It's not winning a wild card game.
Yeah. Quietly, the most expensive team in baseball. Because you look at the team and say, well, that's not the most expensive. Well, yeah, they are the most expensive team in baseball. See, that's when it becomes the problem. You know, another one and done does you no good. That's when we don't have the right makeup of guys. We don't. We need to make changes. That's when you get system overhauls, because another year in the 90s and you get popped in that first round again. This is why there's that lack of buzz. This is why. You know, everything's anew, because it is the same type of team. It's basically same team. Same team from last year. Give or take a guy or two. That's it. They've got to be able to bounce back from that. And if not, imagine what the buzz will be this time next year. You win 90-some games again and get popped. People have a tough time getting hits to this team.
Well, I think they're going to get to the ALCS. That's what I think.
That's a big one.
That's how far they're going to get. They're going to be in that series. And that means winning a series, not winning a wild card game, not winning a play-in. You got to get through a series this year for that to be considered what I think is a fair expectation. Ethan's in Cambridge. Hey, Ethan.
What up, boys? What up, Zoe?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I'm all with both of you, especially Beadle. I think they're going to hammer that total. Pretty much the same team as last year, except for one thing's missing, that dumb Farrell. I swear, they're going to get at least 10 wins on top of that total.
That dumb Farrell is gone. It's so true. But I don't think, as much as I didn't like them, I don't think they were capable of winning 6 or 7 more games than what they won. Let's say it's 2 or 3 at the most. And you know what? Let's give them that right off the bat. Okay, that puts them at 96. That puts them above what they were already. I just think that they've got the potential to win more games than they did a year ago, and they should win at least the same amount that they won a year ago at 93. Troy in Dorchester, how many wins?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Troy?
Not much. So, you know, I think they're going to get to at least 95 to 100 wins, but I still think they're missing a really intimidating bat. I don't know what you guys think about that, but, I mean, JD's a good bat. But he's not somebody that's going to scare you in the lineup when you see his name. You know, they still need that guy, that presence that's going to rattle a pitcher, you know, when he fouls off a ball. That's not going to happen with JD, you know.
Well, I think they have a lot of bats, though. I mean, you look at their lineup. They've got a lot of bats in that lineup, guys who can really hit the baseball. Maybe not David Ortiz or Giancarlo Stanton or those types of guys, but they've got guys who can hit.
Take the Red Sox lineup or the Yankees lineup?
I take the Red Sox lineup. It's better 1 through 9.
I think you're right.
It's a better lineup.
I thought I was like going out of control coming in this morning thinking, I think this team might win 100 games, but a lot of people apparently agree with me.
I told
you
that.
All the people that were pissed. No, all
Jim
the people
said this. He said, oh, it could be blasphemy. I'm like, I really don't think it is. I think you're going to find a lot of people agree with you.
Then why was everybody so pissed in the offseason?
Because that's what we do.
Because you didn't have Martinez.
No, I don't think that was it.
Imagine if you didn't
sign
just
what we do.
No, Troy just said people don't fear J.D. Martinez, but I think they're going to win 96 games.
Yeah.
I don't think people fear him like a Manny, like an Ortiz, but it's a solid middle-of-the-order bat that you need to be concerned with. And concern's different than fear. Fear, you pitch around. I don't think people are going to pitch around him. You know, he's going to be able to get up there and get his wax. It's up to him what he does with it. And I'm expecting big power based on what he's paid.
You can't pitch around him if Devers is what he should be.
That's what I'm saying.
And guys like Bogarts can actually hit this year. Even if Bogarts comes somewhere in between 2016 and 2017, if he settles somewhere in between, they're okay. If Mookie Betts settles somewhere in between those 2 years, they're good. If Jackie Bradley settles somewhere in between, they're great, because that's way more than you expect from Jackie Bradley.
No expectations for him, but Bogarts can be the X factor, literally. Last name begins with an X.
I think Hanley's the X factor, to be honest. Hanley's got to hit. If Hanley hits for power, this team is completely different.
I think you're wrong. You know who I think is the X factor? I think it's going to be Rafael Devers, offensively.
I was going to say him or Bogarts.
It's Devers, because that guy can hit.
I just assume he's going to be really good.
He's going to be really good. Do you know who your starting third baseman was last year on opening day? Mm-mm. Jim, do you remember?
Oh, was that some rookie that beat out what's his
name? No, it was Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah, I thought it was Pablo.
Was it?
Pablo Sandoval. Opening day last year.
Redemption.
That's who you had in your lineup as your third baseman. Do you know how much of an upgrade it is offensively to go from Sandoval to Devers? And you can talk about all the defense you want. Oh, it's going to be a defensive liability, blah, blah, blah. More of a defensive liability than Sandoval was at that point? No. Nope. Not at all. So, that's an upgrade, and I think offense, that kid can hit, man. He can hit everybody. He can hit everything is what he can do. So, I have really high hopes for him, really high expectations. Paul and Bill Ricka has him at 98 wins, right, Paul?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, 98 wins. What's up, Zoe?
Hey, what's up, man?
So here's the thing. The only thing I'm not sold on is J.D. Martinez. I don't know if he's going to be as big of a bat as everybody thinks he is, but I say 98 wins, and I'm calling a bounce back here from Price. He's got a player option, if I'm not mistaken. And from what it looks like,
he's
doesn't
got an
want to
opt-out,
be in Boston.
Not player options, opt-out.
Sorry, you're right, opt-out. So yeah. If he wants to opt-out, which, you know, let's face it, you know, I don't think he likes being in Boston, he's going to have to put up a career year to get anything close to the numbers he's getting now.
I mean, he talks like a guy who has no interest in leaving, but I'm with Paul. If he goes out and he has a great year, he could hit the market. He could hit the market and bounce. And be gone. And I don't know if that's motivating him. I don't know if he's actually thought about that and thought that process through, but I sure as hell hope he has. Twofold. One, so he has a great year.
Yeah.
And two, so he leaves. All right. Adrian in Newburyport. Adrian.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up? Great.
Basically, I just wanted to say J.D. Martinez, he's going to be J.D. Drew 2.0.
Meaning what?
I mean, there were parts of J.D. Drew which were good.
He's just going to be like, you know?
What's give me numbers for
You know, he hits 25 home runs, and he's supposed to be our number three hitter. Come on.
Well, 25 won't cut it here.
J.D. Drew was never supposed to hit 25 home runs.
We brought in J.D. Drew to be, like, you know, the replacement for, like, Manny Ramirez.
No, they didn't. Stop it. That is a revision of the history.
I remember the way they talked about him, though.
That's just the clown who was trying to stay on the air as long as he possibly could.
Yeah, I remember when they brought him in. He was billed to be the best five-tool player in the history of baseball. Silky smooth at everything he does.
He was silky.
Just never seemed like.
Yeah, but they didn't bring him in. Like, they brought him in. They brought him in when everyone was like, whoa, why did J.D. Drew opt out of his contract with the Dodgers? He's never going to get that much money. Oh, no, Theo gave him more.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he was viewed coming in. He had no expectations coming in.
I'd say his first few years here were pretty good. I mean, 07 was not so great, even though he still batted 270, and he made up for it with a big, big home run in the playoffs against the Indians. Johnny Farrell, Dum-Dum Farrell, no longer here. He was, however, on Baseball Tonight last night, making his TV debut.
What time was that, like 8 o'clock?
I'll tell you what time that was at. We'll get to it coming up next.
He's just going to be, like, you know?
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5, the Sports from the center of the hockey universe. It's Zolak and Bertrand. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a new turf, and it's extremely long. The blades of artificial grass, the depth of the crushed rubber is deep.
Johnny Dum Dum Farrell. I like how that caller called him Dum Dum earlier. I don't know, it stuck with me. That's him in the past as Red Sox manager. He's not the manager anymore, you know that?
What's he doing now?
He's doing a couple of things. He's got a job with the Cincinnati Reds. So he does that thing.
Now, he was doing some media?
He's doing some media. So Baseball Tonight, when we talked about this, a week ago? I said I didn't know Baseball Tonight was still a show.
Yeah.
And I was being genuine in that. They don't do it on a nightly basis. It doesn't exist. They used to be a great thing. Like, Baseball Tonight used to be a thing. For baseball fans, we'd watch it. And then things change.
That was like Carl Ravitch and...
different guys over the years, sure.
Harold Nolan.
Ravitch did it for a long time. Harold Reynolds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't watched that.
Before Reynolds got canned for whatever he had.
Your boy Levy used to be on there a lot, too.
Yeah. So, it's not on a nightly basis anymore. They do it once a week on Sunday nights leading into their Sunday night baseball.
Oh, so the season starts today. They probably blew this out
so
last night.
So it's early, though, right? So when they do this, Jim, Baseball Tonight is that's an early edition of it prior to the Sunday night
one?
Game.
Yeah, the Sunday one's like a 7 o'clock.
Not in the spirit of Baseball Tonight, which was later in the night and after the games had ended and you get all the highlights. That's just not a thing anymore.
It's like Sunday Countdown now.
Yeah.
It's like NFL preview.
So it's got the same name, but it's really not Baseball Tonight. The way Baseball Tonight was consumed, that show doesn't really exist now. They just take coverage from the MLB Network, which is, I guess, sort of similar. But anyway, he's on that show now, and so they did their opening day preview show last night.
So this was on last night.
Special edition. Yeah. Do you know what time it aired? Live? From what my guy told me, they did it live.
Is it West Coast or East Coast?
Which I don't believe.
West Coast or East Coast?
Oh, no, it was live. It was at least taped that day. I don't know if it was live.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't believe it was live. I believe it was... taped yesterday, but it was not live as they would like you to think it is. Midnight on ESPN2.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, but wait. But in all fairness, they had a good tennis match on, so it didn't start till about 12:20, 12:30.
So wait a minute. So this wasn't last night. This was today.
Yeah, it was early this morning, actually.
So, oh, my God.
They didn't make it on. Baseball Tonight didn't make it onto the air until 12:20 a.m. on the deuce.
Luckily for the DVR, they re-ran it at like 4 in the morning, so we got the full episode.
Oh, good.
Oh, he had to be...
on the deuce at 12:20 a.m.
He had to be a bundle.
That's like
of
the
life.
Golf show beginning at 6:24 a.m., you know? So we got some of his debut. Want to see how he's doing, if he's doing well.
Okay.
Here's John Farrell being introduced.
It is the Baseball Tonight 2018 preview show. It is so great to have baseball back. I'm Adnan Burke. It's great to have Mark Teixeira back.
Stop.
And a very warm...
Everyone says, who?
Matt Danverk.
That would be your host.
Art Danverk.
Carl Rapp. Oh, wait, no, sorry. It's Adnan Verk.
Adavan?
Adnan Verk.
Yeah, he's been hosting this for like 4 or 5 years now.
And nobody knows him. Wow, ESPN. How the mighty have fallen. Okay, Adnan, right? Not Advan. Adnan. Adnan, tell me more.
Back. I'm Adnan Burke. It's great to have Mark Teixeira back. And a very warm welcome to World Series winning manager John Farrell. John, thanks so much for being a part of our show.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Adam.
I'm sure this was always your dream, to be a part of ESPN's Baseball Tonight. Me and Tex, midnight, ESPN2.
No doubt, especially after winning the World Series. So if you're going to throw that in there, I'll bring it back to you.
I was going to say, this is the cherry on top.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
World Series winning manager. Like, we're going to give him any credit for that.
People wondered why. Just a little peek on the inside. You guys don't know what you're talking about. He could hold a room.
I would put Brandon Workman.
162 of this tool.
Give me a picture. Give me a still shot of Brandon Workman with a bat in his hand. 2013 World Series, please.
Got to give Verk credit, though. He's like, oh, yeah, we're on at ESPN2 at midnight.
I'm glad he did that. That I'll give him credit for.
Is that what he said?
That's the big introduction. So
that's
this
the audio
is the,
we just played. He just said
I know, went over my head because I was waiting to hear Farrell. So I wasn't. I don't pay attention to Advan or Advan.
Let's get to on the new managers in baseball with Johnny Farrell.
The biggest buzzword, John, you keep hearing of these managers and why they were chosen, communication. Just communicate with their players, make them at ease, and that's what all these guys seem to have.
It is, and I will tell you, in certain markets, that can be more challenging the deeper you get into your run there.
Right.
Because of expectations, because of things that are, again, going back to the unforeseen. Mm-hmm. But I'll say, that of the five that are first-year managers, they're walking into teams that are deep, they're talented, across the board. And you look at what's happening in Philadelphia, they're turning. So Gabe Kapler is turning. So he's inheriting a team that while they might not have the expectations now, that's a very talented team that's on the rise.
Not a problem with what he said there.
I don't either, but
you
it's so.
You don't have a problem with what he said?
Why? Why do you have a problem with it?
Communication gets more difficult the deeper into a tenure in certain markets.
Yeah, he's making excuses for himself.
Yeah, he's talking about
himself. So you don't have a problem with him making excuses for himself?
Ah, he's defending himself.
And the fact that. But
is
but
he is
but,
he wrong?
Wait. No. But the new,
is he wrong though?
But the new managers like Alex Cora are coming into very deep teams, so it'll be a little easier for them to transition.
He's also not wrong about that either.
Right. Like it's like we talked about the pump the brakes.
I mean,
Cora
I know why
the, NBC
his motivation so, for saying right, it is right. to try and make himself look good.
Why did communi-
but he's not factually wrong.
We played the NBC Sports stuff. They had you, the podcast.
Right,
they
why
did about
communication
Cora?
For him become difficult deeper into his
he can't
tenure.
Communicate.
No,
he's a bad communicator. We knew
no,
that.
No, because he was dating a sideline reporter. That's how. That's why communication became more difficult for him deeper
but,
into his
But
tenure.
That in and of itself, though, if you want to break it down him personally, yes, he created his own problems. But if in it's making a general statement, he's not wrong. It became harder for Joe Girardi. It became harder for Terry Francona. Again, some of it self-inflicted there. It certainly became harder for him. Definitely was self-inflicted. But I don't think he's wrong in saying that. I don't think it's a bad take. The longer you're in a place, the harder it is to connect. The harder it is to get everybody excited about you doing things a little bit differently.
He's kind of telling you in a weird way, that's how I screwed up. That's why I'm sitting here doing
this. Well,
no,
guys just get worn down by it, no matter where they are. And he's not wrong to say, you got to remember, three of these guys that have new managerial jobs out of the five are taking over playoff teams.
Yeah.
So he's not factually wrong. Why is he saying it? He's trying to defend himself. Why he's saying it.
Justify why I'm here and not there.
Why did they introduce him as World Series winning manager?
But you know what, Jim? Like, they still won 93 games last year.
Sideline reporter,
like, did they lose in the playoffs because he was, you know, with the sideline reporter? Did they get swept by the Indians because of the sideline reporter?
No.
No. That had to do with the communication.
Which you're saying couldn't be a functioning thing because of the sideline reporter.
Yeah, look at Dustin Pedroia the other day. You called it last year. You said, I think these guys are having issues. Apparently they were.
They were. I mean, I know that. I was told that. So that's why I said it. Pedroia and him didn't get along. And I think it goes back to the thing you're talking about is what I think. Clearly there were issues there because he was ready to rail on him the other day, wasn't he? John Farrell, what an awkward spot, though, to be put in there talking about the new managers and the new team.
Oh, John, wait till you talk about the new mound visit rule when we get to that clip, because that's great.
Oh, really?
All right, we can do that, but we have to take 90 seconds for Sports Hub headlines. Is it Wallach or Hardy? Who's in the studio? Wallach is in studio
still
right
Mo.
Now. Hardy will be joining us shortly. Let's go back to the Town Fair Tire Studios and get it up.